So we were in the middle of the Gemara's discussion of the value of mitoch shelo lishma balishma. So the first point I want to raise is the following. There is a very important machloket girsaot in this Gemara. One girsa in the Gemara is that l'olam yasok adam b'torah u'b'mitzvot. That's the girsa we have in our Gemara. Shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. Which indicates that this notion of there being value to doing things even without perfect intent is true of all Torah and mitzvot. But there are other girsaot which were accepted by Rishonim and Achronim, which said, La'olam yasuk adam b'torah, shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma balishma, limiting it to Torah and not to the rest of the mitzvot. And the Shulchan Aruch Harav, or the Baal HaTanya, suggests that the reason this is true is maybe the argument is as follows. He gives more of a mystical argument, but you could give this rationally as well, right? He gives the mystical argument, which is Torah has a koach, has a power in it that it inspires people and brings them back. And therefore, Torah, it's worth doing even shelo lishma because the power in it will turn you back to good. That might not be true of a ma'aseh mitzvah. The rational way to say it is, even without this sort of mystical power, learning Torah, learning what to do, learning what it means, that's likely to make you committed to the system in a way that just doing the actions by rote might not, and therefore maybe there's unique value to doing that shelo lishma. The other thing I'll note is that one of the main things discussed by the Rishonim in the six places in Shas that the sugya appears is that usually the Gemara says Bracha Yizayin and here in Pesach of Nun and in Hurri and in Nazir and Sota, etc., that you should be involved shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. Except in Tainus, the Gemara says that if you do it shelo lishma, it's terrible. It's going to cause death and destruction, and they darshan it from Ya'arov Kamatar Lekhi, Tizal Kadalim Rati. Oh, you see, the Torah is Ein Arifa Ela Lashon Hariga. So it's terrible. So all the Rishonim say, Mapitom, what could it be? Is it good or is it bad? So Rov Rishonim follow Rabbeinu Tam and say, well, there's two types of Lolishma. And then they argue about what the two types of Lolishma are. So like doing it for honor, good. Doing it to put other people bad. Or doing it for honor, bad. But doing it to be, you know, for schar, good. Or they distinguish between Yira and Ava. And they give all types of different distinctions. The Marach or Zoro and Shavukov Samach Gemol suggests something radical, which is that no, it's always an Avera to learn Torah Shelo Lishma, but you're chayiv to do it because it's your only hope to ever learn Lishma. And if you eventually learn Torah Lishma, then retroactively it justifies all of your Torah as an Avera Lishma because it was necessary to get you to the right point. But if you never manage to get to the point of Lishma, then Mimela, all the Torah you ever learned in your life is Navera, and you'll burn in hell, and there's nothing we can do about it. And like, that's basically his argument. It's a radical, radical Shita, which has, you know, I've given shir on it before. It's a wonderful Shita of Marachor Zeruah. What?
How do you know that you've hit that point of Lishma?
I have no idea, but it's an amazing Shuva of the Marachor Zeruah. Good. So on that note, let us continue that background lambda. So five lines from the bottom. So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav laolam yasok adam b'torah mitzvot afilu shelo lishma shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. And then the Gemara says something radical. Shebischar membet karbanot shekriv Balak haresha zachav yatsam mimenu rut. Because the 42 karbanot that Balak brought, which, if you remember, he was bringing to try to destroy Klal Yisrael, he was zochet have root come to him. So this totally throws it off because it sounds like even negative kavana is good, which really is part of this weird calculus. The Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina root bat v'noshel Eglon ben v'noshel Balak melech Moav, because root is the grandchild of Eglon, who's the grandchild of Balak. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and again, this gets into the complicated thing, which is, can there be reward for doing something for negative reasons that happens to also be positive? This really complicates the sugya. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikapeach afilu schar sicha na'ah. How do you know that God rewards and will not withhold reward even for the smallest of conversations? Mehacha deilu bechira de kari moav amar le rachmana la moshe al tatzer moav al titgar ba milchama milchama hu delo hatzure tzarinu. Because the older daughter of Lot, if you remember, we were talking about it, the older daughter of Lot called her child Moav, which Chazal understand is meaning Me'av, the child from my father, which is a bit crass. So for Moav, you see that the pasuk tells you don't wage war with them, and Chazal imply you can't wage war, but you can torment them a bit. You can drive them a little bit nuts. V'ilut Si'ira, but the younger one, Dikari Ben Ami, she called him Ben Ami, which means the son of my nation, which, you know, is a euphemistic way of saying from my father, but not literally saying from my father, which is a little bit more tsanua. And the Gemara says, and that was way, Amar Le'al Tutsurim Baltit Karbam, Klal Afiru Tsure Lo. So from here, the Gemara derives that's the reason that it says, don't bother them at all, which is a more expansive command than don't wage war with them. And the Gemara says that again, that the reason that's true is because of this slight sniut that we call them Ben Ami rather than Me'av. Okay. Amr b'chiyah bar Avin, Amr b'Yoshua ben Karcha, la'olam yakdim adam l'dvar mitzvah, shebizchar layla achat shekima b'chira l'tzira, zachta v'kadma arba daro g'malchud. But then the Gemara flips it, and it says, but you should always run to do a mitzvah. And again, this aver l'shma of sleeping with their father, the Gemara already qualified as somewhat mitzvah-like, said, run to do a mitzvah earlier, because of that single night that the older daughter slept with her father, l'shem, preserving humanity, before the younger one, her family got to be a king four generations earlier, because Rut, who, as we understand, comes from Moav, has David, right? Because David is the great-great-grandson of Rut. But she preceded Na'ama, the Ammoni, who married Shlomo, by four generations, if you count the generations. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Mei Am Ha'aretz Prat Lo Mashiach. Mei Am Ha'aretz Prat Lenasi. Right? The normal karban excludes the Kohen Gadol and it excludes the king. Valo Kvar Yatsu Mashiach Lidon Bepar Nasi Lidon Besair. We already knew that. Why do you need another exclusion? We already said that they have a unique karban. Sheyachal Mashiach al Helam Davarim Shigan Maseh maybe Par al Shigan Maseh Lchudei maybe Kizba Osira Talmud Lomar Me'am Aretz Prat LaMashiach Me'am Aretz Prat LaNasi, because you might have thought that the Kohen Gadol, so he brings his special karban in a case where he paskins and he acts, but in a case where he just acts, you might think that he brings a sheep or a goat. So therefore it says, no, he is completely exempt from a regular sin because the status, right, removed him from the status of normal chatas, and therefore he can only be chayiv in his unique case and not in a normal case. So Tenach Mashiach, Elenasi Vishigan Masa, Hudamaisa, the Gemara says, wait a second, okay, fine. Kohen Gadol, I get it, except the king, I know he doesn't bring a normal chatas because his normal sin is for sinning by accident, right? His normal special karban is simply for sinning. Of course, he doesn't bring the normal karban. That's the entire point of the halacha. So Amar Zvid Mishmei de Rava Hachmai Eskinan Gagon Sha'achal Kizayet Chelev Kishuhu Ed Yot. So now we go back to the switching of statuses. It's a case where he ate a kizayet of forbidden fat when he was a non-king Vinitmana, and then he got appointed Yachgach Nodalo, and then he found out. So you might have thought that he would still bring the karban, kamashmon, he does not. So the Gemara says, "Hani chalar b'shimon da'aza al-batar yediyah." That makes sense according to Reb Shimon, who we already saw cares about when you find out that you sinned. El rabbanan da'aslu bazar chata'a ma'ikilameimar. But why would this even make sense according to the rabbanan? According to the rabbanan, the critical moment is when you sinned. And at the moment that he sinned, he was not a Kohen Gadol. So Elam Rav Zvi Mishmei de Rava. So he says, you're right. Achal Mayaskinan could go into Achal Chati Kazayet Chelev Kishu Hedyot. Right? This is like the most. This is such Gemara. He ate half a Kazayet of forbidden fat Kishu Hedyot. Vinitmana. And then he became king. Veheshlimo Acharkach. And then he ate the other half of the Kazayet. And then he found out he sinned. So there, Sakadaita Khamina Nitstarif and Aiti Kizbosira. You might have thought that since half was before, half was after, and he started the process when he wasn't a king. So he could be Chayav, Kamash Malan, that the act of becoming king or the status of becoming king splits the two karbanot, splits the two actions, and therefore he's not Chayav. Okay. Baime Rava Mirav Nachman. Nisiyut. Mao shetavsik. Does nisiyut divide? What do you mean? Meaning malchus. So we said, what happened if he ate half a kzayit of chelev and became king and had another kzayit of chelev? So now the Gemara goes farther and he says, what's the problem there? Is the problem there that the act of being king makes his sin different from not being king? Or is it the act, or is it simply the act of becoming king splits your life from before king to after king? So what would happen if you had half a kezayit of chelev, became king, didn't sin, was fired 5 minutes later, and then had the other half of the kezayit? So therefore, he had both half of the kezayit when he wasn't a king, but on two sides of the before-after king sides of his life. Ah, so that's the good. I told you, the Heriot is very lumdish, even in the Gemara. It's very like, very achronic sometimes. So he says, Hasam Jol Mitzarev to Achle Palga Kishu Hedyot, Upalga Kishu Nasi. Is it that when half he ate as a non-king and half as a king, so that divides? Aval Hacha di Idividi Kishu Hedyot, but here both halves were when he was a non-king. Achle Mitzarev, so then it joins. Or do you say it doesn't matter because the it's like that moment of becoming king, it divides his life into two. Lo shana mai. So the Gemara tries to answer. Tishalem yahadam Rabulam Rabbi Yochanan. Try to resolve it from Ravuna's halacha, who had said in the name of Yochanan that achol chele v'hifrish karban v'heimir v'chazar bo, that if someone had forbidden fat, separated a karban because he was allowed to, but then he became an apostate. And the general halacha is that if someone is a mumar, he's not allowed to bring a karban. Why is he not allowed to bring a karban? Yes, Usher, it's the most Gemara question ever. Thank you. And then he became an apostate. And then he... So while you are apostate, you're not allowed to bring a karban because you're not considered someone who's ratzui to Hashem. You're not considered someone... in a certain sense, you're considered like a goy, etc. And therefore, you can't bring a karban. V'chazerbo, but then he does tshuva. So do you say, well, he went through a moment of being in of a mumar, so now he was pushed out? The Gemara answers, in that case, we say, since he was at any moment a mumar, he can't bring the karban. So the Gemara says, maybe the same thing is true here. Then the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Because by a mumar isn't allowed to bring any karban. He's totally mufka from karban. So that's why it doesn't, it breaks up his karban. But the king, he brings a karban, it's just a different type of karban, so he's not categorically removed, so maybe it would be different. Okay. Bo mine Rabbi Zeira Merav Sheshe. Achal safek chilev kishu hedyo vinitmane v'nodelo al sveiko mahu. Now, what if you do this, but not with a vadai, but with a suffik? He ate something that might have been forbidden fat when he was a non-king, or non-kohen gadol, not non-king. Then he became king, and then he found out. So he says, according to the Rabbanan, the only important moment is when he did the sin. So obviously he brings, the Gemara's suffik is according to Rabbi Shimon. Do you say, and this comes down to this fundamental question, which how related are the Chatas and the Asham. Because on the one hand, they're brought for the same Karbanot, one for Safek, one for Vadai. Does that mean that they're basically related? Or do you say that they're conceptually different, that a Chatas is a debt that you pay for the Chait, and the Asham, as the Gemara explains, is the Hagin Alav, is to protect you until you figure out whether you need Kapara or not. So do you say that since he's it's different for Vadai, it's different for Safek as well? Odilma, ki ishtene levadai de ishtene, do you say that, look, when it comes to the Vadai, his carbon had actually changed. That's why he's not chayiv in the same way. But when it comes to the Ashram Talui, there is no different carbon for a king. So you would say he would bring it. Teku. So the Gemara stands. Question stands. Yes, I know, Usher. There are more tekus per capita. I've never checked, but I do think you are right that there are more tekus per capita in Huria than any other Masechet and Shas. I don't know why that is. Of course, it is funny.
Why do you have a Masechet if the entire thing is just going? I don't know.
And look, it's ironic that it appears in the Masechet that talks about Beitin making mistakes. Right, like it's almost like it's thematically connected. Like, look, even the rabbis who determine the halacha don't always know the law. Ah, haraya. Like, I have no idea. I don't know.
Never know the law.
I don't know what to tell you. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, me'am ha'aretz prat limumar. It excludes a mumar. He cannot bring karbana. Reb Shimon ben Yosi, Omer Reb Shimon. Where do we know this? Because it says that if he did it bishkaga and he's guilty, hashav midiato maybe karman. The type of person who would repent, who cares that it's a sin and would not do it if he knew it was usur, so that type of person can bring a karban. Lo shav midiato. He's the type of person who doesn't care, and maybe karban al shigigato. My Benayu, so the Gemara says, what's the difference between the two drashot? Mumur lechol chelev umevi karban al adam ika Benayu. The difference is, if it's about the chalos of being a mumar, so then, if you always eat forbidden fat, but you don't, rachman al islam, eat blood. So then, if it's about the status of being a mumar, you're still a mumar. But if it's that the problem is that you're unrepentant about this type of sin in general, so as long as your rebellion against God is for a different sin, you would still bring a carbon for the sin that you care about. If it's about being a mumar, you're a mumar. If it's about you caring about the aver and being willing to repent, so then you are. So v'harava, but didn't Rava amar dechulei am a mumar lechal chelav lave mumar ledam? The Gemara said, but Rava said that nobody holds that mumar carries over from one to the other. El ahacha ba'ochel nevela l'te'avon v'nitchalev lo b'shuman v'achel. The Gemara says, I got a really complicated case for you. And what is it? It's someone who is a mumar, but not rebellious against God. He just can't handle it. He can't handle the desire. He always needs to eat not shechted meat. Nivela. And that nivela got switched for fat, right? For forbidden fat, v'achlo. And he ate it. So, kamiflugle, marsav kevin did leon achil b'mezid mumarhu. Marsav kevin lo ashkach dehetira lo achal di sura la mumarhu. So he says, here's the very local machlokis. Is it because he's an intentional sinner? So he is a mumar, or do you say that since when he finds kosher food, he eats it, it's just that when he doesn't find kosher food, he can't handle it, so not enough of a mumar for these purposes, it's considered not a mumar. Okay, great. Very, very, very... Anyways.
Come on.
Yeah. Tan Rabbanan, achal chelev, zeu mumar. If he ate chelev, he's a mumar. Ve'ezu... Mumar ochel nevela. And who is a mumar ochel nevela to trevach kasam ramasa v'shasa yayin nesach. He eats non-shechted meat and meat that has one of the simon etarfos and bugs, and he drinks wine that was poured as a libation. By the way, Alex, someone, you know, sometimes people ask me, can you go to vegan restaurants? And I say, you know, maybe not because of stam yenam. You know, I mean, there are many reasons why you might not be able to go to a vegan restaurant that's not kosher, but one of the main ones is stam yenam. But I was talking to one of my friends who got a shayla from London where someone asked him and sent him the restaurant. It turns out it wasn't stam yenam, it was Yain Nesach, because there's some Hare Krishna temple that has a vegan restaurant in London where they mamish, like, do libations and worship of Avodah Zarah. So, like, it's Yain Nesach Lemahadrin. It's the real deal. So it's mamish usher.
It's crazy all the time.
Yeah. So Yehuda Omer, Avalovish Kilayim, even one who eats Kilayim is a mumar. Where's Kilayim is a mumar? Amar Mar, Ochol Chelev eats fat, Zehu mumar. It's a mumar. Ve'ezu mumar achol nevelo chule. So my kamar, what is he saying? I don't understand. He said what's a mumar. He gave one answer, then he gave another answer. I don't understand this whole statement. Please explain it. So Mark says, Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Yochanan Hachi Gamar. This is what it means. Achol chelev lit peyavon harezem mumar. If you eat fat, forbidden fat, out of desire, so you're a mumar. But lahaches, but if you do it lahaches, to make God angry, that's a different status. Harezet stuki. Ve'ezu mumar dibit stomot stuke hafe. And then the Gemara's question is, what type of mumar do we assume is not just, you know, following his desires, but is doing it to anger God? Answer, the person who violates the guns, you know, the whole Torah. Ochel nevela treifa, Havi Omer, ochel nevela treifa, shkatzim ramasim, shaza yayin esech. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, av halovesh kilayim, even one who wears kilayim. My benayu, what's the difference? Sorry. Ike benayu kilayim derabonan. The difference is kilayim derabonan. Mar savar midya rice ave mumar derabanan. Lo ave mumar. So one says that one who violates biblical law is a mumar, but one who violates derabanan lo ave mumar. Mar savar kilayim kevin mefarsim yisur efilm derabanan ave mumar. And others say that since it's so public, he is still a mumar. And what this seems to point out is there's two ways of conceiving a mumar. Right, one is it's more of a sociological category, right? Am I rebelling against the community of those who keep Torah? And therefore, it doesn't matter formally how bad the sin is. It matters, like, how is this used in the community? The other is saying, no, this is a metaphysical question. Like, how bad is the rebellion that you're doing? Right, I've heard this as a machloket, like, by intermarriage. Is intermarriage still something you should, like, sit shiva for? So Rav Shechter says no. He says, why did we used to sit shiva for someone who intermarried? Because it was a shtuch against the community. It was an act of rebelling. But nowadays, most of Klal Yisrael intermarry. So it's obviously sad, but it's not an act of rebellion. And Rav Rosenzweig said, no. He thinks that the reason was because intermarriage is a metaphysical rebellion, whether you know it or not. Right? So you do have these two types of conceptions that float around. So let's just get to the two dots here, I guess. Pligi bar of Acha Ravina, Chad Amar L'Teyavon, Mumar lahachitz stuki. One says that if you do something out of desire, so then you're a mumar. If you do it to anger God, you're a stuki. V'charam lahachitz nami mumar. One said even to anger God, you're just a mumar. El ezut stuki. What's a stuki? Only call a oved avodit kochavim. If you worship avodit zara, meitzvei. The Gemara says really. Achol parosh echad yitish echad areze mumar. Don't we say that even if you eat a single bug, you're a mumar? V'ahacha de lahachitz uvekakar le mumar. He's only a mumar. So he says, no, maybe the guy there, he isn't doing to rebel against God. It's just hatam damar etum ta'am di isura. He was just saying, you know, I really want to try isur. Like, I'm overwhelmed by the desire to try something new. So that guy, you can't say, I mean, he is doing something usur, but that's not the guy who's, like, completely rebellious against the Torah, and therefore he's the lower level mumar and not the stuki. Okay, that's fine. We're up to two lines from the bottom. Like I said, at this point, in Amud a day, will be fine, I think. Because we have time. Okay, good. Shkoyach, guys.